You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, Alexander Alfano, reporting this last week of May, 2026. Thank you for tuning in. We're a Christian legal ministry advocating for religious liberties, freedom of conscience, the right of Christians and believers to live out their faith freely and openly. Nahum 1:7. The verse of the week. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him. Thank you for the honor of addressing you on the Religious Liberty Report. For me, an inspiration and honor to bring you this weekly Religious Liberty News Briefing. We believe that the church is called. Called to be the moral and the cultural conscience of the nation, of our communities. We can't just stay on the sidelines and let the culture do its own thing. Religious freedom, a God-given right, grounded in the fact that human beings are made in the image of God, endowed with reason, free will, and an eternal soul. America's founders knew that government has a duty, a sacred duty to preserve that freedom, for each person to follow his or her own conscience. In other words, religious freedom is for the atheist, the Buddhist, the Muslim, the Jew, and of course, the Christian. The idea here, brothers and sisters, is not to win debates, but to win hearts, minds, and souls. To equip ourselves to understand and articulate our Christian worldview in a way that is courteous, kind, yet bold, uncompromising, and committed to God's Word as our guide. Turning to page 1 of the report, this last week of May, 2026. The United States and Iran reaching a tentative deal to extend the ceasefire and to start new nuclear talks. The Iranians did not confirm any deal, and even the president himself has said he has yet to sign off on any deal. But there does seem to be an emerging memorandum of understanding, as the fragile ceasefire in the war between U.S. and Iran appears to be wavering with latest flare-ups along the Strait of Hormuz. The proposal addresses, of course, the Strait of Hormuz, reopening the strait, removing mines. And then it seems that Iran itself is split in two, with moderates wanting a deal and hardliners not wanting to deal with the United States. Iran is not a unified voice right now. It seems to be there are two camps pulling in opposite directions within inside Iran. Which side wins will determine the outcome, whether the war comes to an end or whether it does not, whether oil prices go up or they come down, whether the Iranians surrender their nuclear materials or they do not. Many believe that President Trump wants an exit, but hardliners in Iran seem to be wanting to escalate militarily, to push oil prices higher, squeezing President Trump politically. The calculation being that if oil and gasoline prices go up, let's say to $150 a barrel, this would force Trump to the negotiating table faster than anything else. But the blockade, the naval blockade on Iran is working, and it's strangling Iran economically, its currency losing more than half of its value since the war started, over a million jobs lost, a lot of economic pain in Iran. So it's hard to argue for more aggression, even if you're a hardliner. There's a lot of pressure. The strait continues to be closed. Iran seems to be running out of options. we're watching for a signal, whether there'll be a formal written proposal, an agreement, a negotiated agreement from Iran's more moderate camp. An exchange that is real, substantive. But for now, we're still waiting for what can be days, maybe even weeks away. A tense truce. Page 2 of the report, last week of May, 2026. I got this from the New York Times. As AI fever rises in Silicon Valley, Pope Leo has a few words. The American Pope wants to take artificial intelligence down a notch. One of the oldest industry jokes in tech has a programmer asking a computer, "Is there a God?" And the computer answers, "There is now." There's a proto-hacker compendium, a tool kit of sorts, called the Whole Earth Catalog, that is said to have deeply influenced Steve Jobs of Apple. And in it we find this: we are as gods and might as well get good at it. By investing hundreds of billions of dollars in artificial intelligence, tech leaders, both private and public sectors, are signaling that they're reaching for those dreams of transcendence. Just as the new religion of AI seems to be solidifying its control over mankind's destiny, a new voice was heard last week on the other side of the world. Pope Leo XIV, the first American pope, he published a message to the tech industry saying, "Slow down, elevate the human, and machines are not gods." Pope Leo XIV, the first American pope, published this past week, with great ceremony, pomp even, his first encyclical, an encyclical being an official pronouncement, a written statement from the Vatican, from the Pope. This one entitled Magnifica Humanitas, or Magnificent Humanity. 42,000 word statement. A sharp rebuke to Silicon Valley and the tech industry, asserting that it can be trusted to develop the future of mankind. The Pope acknowledged that AI can be a valuable tool, but the technology tends to amplify the power, quote, of those who already possess economic resources, expertise, and access to data. He warned that without adequate oversight and transparency, those who control AI will impose their own moral vision, which will become the invisible infrastructure of society. That would be bad news, he said. A more moral AI is not enough if that morality is determined by a few. Pope Leo XIV, the spiritual leader of 1.4 billion Catholics in the world, instructing Catholics and anyone who will listen to be cautious, even suspicious of AI. Pope Leo XIV, in his new encyclical, confronting tech. As tech is moving deeper into matters that used to be exclusively religious in nature, the singularity, the merging of man and machine. Technology can be used for good or for evil. We know this. We've seen this. But there are special concerns with artificial intelligence. Some argue that it could become conscious, and it could become dangerous to mankind. They call it P-doom, the calculation or the percentage of possibility, probability that artificial intelligence can be harmful, dangerous to mankind, even create an extinction event. Others say that intelligence is not conscious. There is no consciousness with intelligence. Artificial intelligence can overcome natural intelligence without developing consciousness, some argue. Just as planes can fly faster than birds without growing feathers. It's argued that there's nothing to show, at least not yet, that artificial intelligence will develop consciousness. Notwithstanding the consciousness argument, most agree that intelligence, data, is not like land or resources, physical resources, where fences can mark boundaries. With data, with intelligence, where exactly are the boundaries? The future, more unpredictable than ever before in history. What will happen to the human body, brain structure? In the future, we're more likely to change the world inside us. An internal. The argument goes like this. We are becoming gods of planet Earth. Not metaphorically, but literally, we're manufacturing, engineering new life forms, conducting an enormous experiment on mankind itself. Scientists are now creating new life forms, biological entities in laboratories, pushing the boundaries of synthetic biology. These creations range from purely synthetic single-cell organisms to living, programmable machines, engineered to self-replicate and perform specific tasks. Most organisms on Earth have the same basic genetic code, but it comes with flaws, variations, mutations, many of these harmful to the organism. But scientists are working on correcting errors in the gene, in the genome, and even creating their own artificial genomes. Future applications of these sciences, technologies, could supposedly create enhanced organisms. Humanity's next agenda, humanity's next goal, to achieve immortality, divinity, to overcome aging and even death itself. Having saved humanity, the human race, from abject misery in the last 200-300 years with technological progress and increase in productivity, agriculture, having raised humanity above the level of survival, simply struggling to survive. Now humanity is aiming to upgrade into gods, to turn Homo sapiens into Homo Deus. Death, which was once the unique specialty of priests, theologians, is now transforming. It's now becoming an engineering problem, a technological problem. Revelation 9, verse 6 tells us, "And in those days people will seek death and not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them." Revelation 9, 6. Death, once the unique specialty of faith, religion, priests, theologians, is now transforming into an engineering, a problem of engineering, of technology. One scientist, Nobel Prize-winning biochemist Christian Leduvet, said that he predicts that our species may evolve into a, quote, human hive, a planetary superorganism, a society in which individuals would abandon some of their freedom for the benefit of all. The human hive, a planetary superorganism. They call it swarm intelligence, the brain of brains. A technology that threatens to radically transform our lives and our existence. And it does seem that artificial intelligence is seems to be taking over our lives lately. A lot of talk, a lot of buzz. And now, Pope Leo XIV chiming in. Some scientists are talking now about organoid intelligence, or OI, powered by living human brain cells that could one day outperform artificial systems and work more efficiently. Organoid intelligence. Three-dimensional clumps of biological tissue that scientists have been growing and experimenting with that could lead to a, quote, biocomputer powered by human brain cells. OI, organoid intelligence. And we've reported in the past how futurist Ray Kurzweil has made waves by saying on the record that humans are on track to achieve immortality in 7 years. With singularity milestones coming, and singularity refers to where technology and humans merge into a, quote, singularity. They become one. Kurzweil believes immortality can be achievable by the 2030s, in the next decade. Kurzweil predicts that nanobots will help humans achieve immortality. Tiny robots that will repair damaged cells and tissues that deteriorate as the body ages. These tiny robots will repair these cells and these tissues to make us immune to diseases like cancer. Rather than a vision of the future where machines take over humanity, Kurzweil believes that we will create a human-machine synthesis, a singularity that will improve humanity. The concept of nanomachines being inserted into the human body has been around for a while in science fiction. There was even a Star Trek episode of tiny molecular robots called nanites that would repair damaged cells in the human body. Over the course of the next 10 years, we will begin to see more of human organs grown in laboratories, genetic surgery, and other advances towards this supposed singularity. Gary Tan, who runs the startup Y Combinator, says people are so ready to make AGI, artificial generative intelligence, their god. John Lennox, the retired Oxford mathematician, wrote a book entitled 2084, Artificial Intelligence and the Future of Humanity, where he says, this race for AI superintelligence is to make God and to be God. Bill Gates, contemplating this, said, you can call it a new religion. It's a new religion in a form of competition with the old religions, the old traditions. And we have Pope Leo XIV protesting, warning, advising, almost as if he's protecting a market share. Tech World's initial reaction to the encyclical was muted over the last several days. Doing the Lord's work, many AI applications are now moving in on the traditional human role of spiritual advisor or counselor. There's a new app, a popular new app called Text with Jesus. It even offers voicemail responses. Text with Jesus. There's another, Bible.ai. It describes itself as, quote, here to simply be a helper, a listener, a friend. Another, Just Like Me, offers a Jesus chatbot that provides compassionate guidance and, quote, unconditional support. People are turning to AI in their darkest moments. Greg Epstein, the author of Tech Agnostic, How Technology Became the World's Most Powerful Religion and Why It Desperately Needs a Reformation. He says this, "The Pope is really doing the Lord's work here. And I say that as an atheist. There are so few institutions left that have the gravitas, the strength, the network to take on this phenomenon, which is trying to become inevitable and superhuman," says Epstein of Tech Agnostic, How Technology Became the World's Most Powerful Religion and Why It Desperately Needs a Reformation. Some fear it may be too late. Again, Epstein, big tech is essentially its own religion with its own theology and rights, not to mention its own power and influence. Pope Leo's encyclical will be automatically viewed as false doctrine. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, last week of May 2026, talking about artificial intelligence. Again, Pope Leo starts from the centrality of the human person. He starts with this in his Magnifica Humanitas. He recommends disarming AI by removing it from economic, military, and personal interests. Number two, he apologizes for slavery, a sort of new colonialism and new forms of slavery. AI risks generating new forms of colonialism and slavery, Pope Leo wrote. He warns against a, quote, new face of colonialism. A new colonialism that wouldn't only dominate bodies, physical bodies, but also data, information, intelligence, genetic maps, demographic data, profiling every person on the planet. Again, Pope Leo. When every gesture leaves a trace, movements, purchases, relationships, preferences, a new power is created. The power to profile, predict, and guide behavior, often without people being fully aware of it. Pope Leo arguing in favor of regulating AI, an essential next step. He writes in Magnifica Humanitas, it is necessary to establish adequate regulatory tools capable of upholding justice and curbing the distorting effects of technological power. Artificial intelligence, a technology that is transforming the way humans interact in both promising and troubling ways. Emerging issues around control, power, privacy, neo-colonialism, economics, our understanding of what it means to be human, even embracing matters of faith and religion, bringing faith-based values to the conversation so that there's an ethical AI conversation. I dug this up from a previous report, the hidden costs doctrine. There's two sides to a demonic pact. There's first the initial, the beneficial effect, but then later there's the payment, a hidden cost, concealed, the full extent of which is not seen until later. The cost is hidden, and when you find out, it's already too late. The story of the fool who dared to dance with the devil. But one's soul cannot be stolen unless it is first given away. a technological cycle, a cycle of advancement from man to machine. We're surrounding ourselves with machines, technologies creeping into our laps, literally. According to scripture, all demons were once angels. The corruption of a divine creation. In the end times, evil will seek to remove nature from the image completely, replace the true divine nature with a false mechanical landscape with no divine design. Mankind, broken, fallen, corrupt in our bodies, so much so that mankind now reaching for what they call the singularity, digital mechanical bodies. But there's nothing artificial behind artificial intelligence. It's been with us since the beginning of time. Mankind has been dealing with one form or another of this intelligence. Is AI a vehicle for the end times? Will we create our own prisons with mechanical interfaces? A coming age when men will seek to become like gods. Life is about to break out of the limited organic realm and start spreading into the vastness of the inorganic. Scientists are now boasting that they're able to create life, the first inorganic life forms. In the coming decades, AI, biotechnology, nanotech, they will give us godlike abilities to re-engineer life and even create completely new life forms. We are deep into the end times. This is not a time to dabble in sin. Instead, we should be redeeming the time. This is a time to be called to holiness, righteousness. This is a desperate hour. We are living in very important times, though most of us are oblivious to this. Here on the report, we want to encourage you. There are many reasons to be afraid today. It can be difficult to fight against all of this. It seems there's just so much against us. Harsh words all around us. As Christians, there are so many things that want to take our peace and our testimony. But we will not fear what flesh can do to us. We must settle it in our hearts, brothers and sisters. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. Jesus sent them out as sheep among wolves, and Jesus' words came true in the lives of the apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Thank you for joining me on the Religious Liberty Report. Thank you to this local Christian radio station for having us here, for hosting us. But if you miss us on live and local Christian radio, you can always find us on your favorite podcatcher. Just search for the Religious Liberty Report. Until next time, Alex Alfano signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Tune in next week as we follow up on freedom of conscience, because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Alexander Alfano reporting for the Religious Liberty Report.